God's precious word. Many years ago, a friend of mine drove me to Lookout Mountain, west of Denver, where I stood by the grave of Buffalo Bill, the idol of the American boy in the days of my childhood. By the grave was a simple sign with these significant words, "The end of the trail." A train of thoughts aroused by the sign passed rapidly through my mind. I remembered the picturesque, thrilling, and glamorous career of the Indian fighter, cowboy, crack shot, and showman. Applause, wealth, and hero worship had been lavished upon him. Royalty had honored him. His countrymen had admired him. Now, this spot on the mountaintop, overlooking the vast plain where many of his exploits of dash and daring had been performed, was the end of the trail. His eyes could no longer behold the vast multitudes of former admirers, nor could his ears hear their thunderous applause. I was reminded of the words of the poet, "The paths of glory lead but to the grave." And then I thought of how Scripture likens this life to a trail, speaking of the path of life. Dear listeners, we are all making a journey from time to the borders of eternity. The sign by the grave of the frontiersman unwittingly emphasized the fact that all trails must end. This solemn truth many forget or try to avoid giving any thought to it, yet face it someday everyone must. God alone knows the end of every trail, for he is the one who declareth the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Therefore, he constantly exhorts us to keep the end in view, in such passages as, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end." And again, "Lord, make me to know mine end, and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." And one more, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." Today we will consider the end of the sinner's trail, and the next two messages, the end of the saint's trail and the end of the Savior's trail. We look now at the end of the sinner's trail. "There will be an end to his iniquity." The psalmist prayed, "Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end," and it will. To those who are still living in sin, keep in mind that that day will come when you will quaff your last drink, blurt out your last oath or utterance of obscenity, tell your last lie, commit your last impure act, and hurl your last defiance against God. Next, the pleasures and prosperity of the sinner will end. Asaph had been grieved as he beheld the prosperity of the wicked and the apparent immunity of many such from trouble. He began to feel that there was no profit in righteousness until, as he says, "I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end." Psalm 73. Then he realized that the wicked are brought into desolation as in a moment. The day is coming when they will be utterly consumed with terrors. For without God's salvation, so clearly set forth in the sacrifices of the temple, the sinner has nothing beyond but the fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation. The termination of the pleasures of the sinner is graphically set forth in the words of that gifted profligate, Lord Byron: "My days are in the yellow leaf, the flower, the fruit of life are gone, the worm, the canker, and the grief are mine alone." In the third place, we note that if the sinner has gained riches, the end will be poverty. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus concerning the rich fool in the 12th of Luke's Gospel: "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" Faithful is the warning of the Lord. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. He was prepared for time, but not for eternity. That night, he stepped out of time, where all his possessions were, and into eternity, where he had absolutely nothing, where he was a pitiable pauper. He fulfilled the words of Jeremiah 17:11, "As a partridge sitteth on eggs, and hatcheth them not, so is he that getteth riches, and not by right, shall leave them in the midst of his days, and his end shall be a fool." Fourth, but what a worldly pomp of glory! That too shall end. Napoleon, who in a few years reached the pinnacle of earthly glory, heights of fame which but very few in the history of the world have ever reached, in his closing days, in the desolation of exile, uttered these melancholy words, I quote, "I die before my time, and my body shall be given back to the earth to become food for worms. Such is the fate of him who has been called the great Napoleon. What an abyss between my deep misery and the eternal kingdom of Christ." End of quote. Some sinners are very religious. Though rejecting the Son of God and the salvation he has provided by his sacrificial work on the cross, they have, as they say, their own religion and are perfectly sincere in their beliefs. Nicodemus and Saul of Tarsus were very religious sinners, yet utterly lost, until they trusted Christ. There are multitudes like them. Some have their names on church rolls and are very careful to carry out all the ritualism of their system, yet they know not Christ as their own Savior. To all such, God clearly says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Dear listener, are you in the way of life or following the ways of death? Another very serious fact demands attention. The end of the sinner's trail is the end of all opportunity. How sad are the words of Jeremiah, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." Salvation is offered to sinners in this life, and in this life only. There is absolutely no suggestion in Scripture that there may be a second chance for salvation after death. As the tree falls, so must it lie. Today is the day of salvation. How true are the words of the hymn, "Life at best is very brief, like the falling of a leaf, like the binding of a sheaf, be in time. Fleeting days are telling fast, that the die will soon be cast, and the fatal line be passed, be in time. Fairest flowers soon decay, youth and beauty pass away, oh, you have not long to stay, be in time. While God's Spirit bids you come, sinner, do not longer roam, lest you seal your hopeless doom, be in time. Time is gliding swiftly by, death and judgment draweth nigh, to the arms of Jesus fly, be in time. Oh, I pray you count the cost, ere the fatal line be crossed, and your soul in hell be lost, be in time." We have seen that the end of the sinner's trail means the end of his iniquity, his prosperity and pleasure, his riches, his glory, his religion, if he has any, and his opportunity. Now there's one more fact that in faithfulness to the souls of the unsaved we must mention. The end of the Christ rejecter is eternal destruction. Paul by the Spirit warns of this in the words, "For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction." The Apostle Peter adds his testimony to this solemn warning, "For the time is come when judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it begin first at us, what shall the end be of those who obey not the gospel of God?" To enforce this truth, it might be well for me to tell you in closing how a celebrated Christ rejecter died. In the early part of the last century, there lived in France a famous infidel named Voltaire. He hated God, he despised Christ, and he sought to destroy the Bible. He once said of the Lord Jesus Christ, "Curse the wretch." He predicted that in 100 years, the Bible would be banished from Europe. He was one of the most blatant of blasphemers, scoffing at everything that was high and holy. But, like other sons of Adam, he came to the end of his trail and faced eternity. His denials of the truth brought him no comfort as the sun of his life was setting behind the dark and ominous clouds of uncertainty and dread. The nurse who attended him in his final illness said she would not see another infidel die for all the wealth of the world. His physician, who was summoned to his deathbed, heard him exclaim in accents of despair, "I am abandoned by God and man. I will give you half of what I am worth if you will give me 6 months to live." When assured that that was not possible, he exclaimed, "Then I shall go to hell, and you shall go with me, O Christ, O Jesus Christ." How strange that the hell he denied and the Christ whom he had scorned were upon his mind as he came to the end. True is the scripture, "The end of the wicked shall be cut off." Dark indeed is the end of the sinner's trail, outer and eternal darkness. But, thank God, this need not be the portion of any. For remember that Jesus Christ died to save sinners from the doom and dominion of sin. Dear listener, if you know not Christ, accept him today as your Savior, and a very different end will be yours. Of that, God willing, we will speak in our next broadcast, the subject being the end of the saint's trail. We thank you for listening and hope you'll be with us again for the next message. This is George M. Landis speaking. Please remain tuned for an announcement to follow.
Tired of the load of your sin, let Jesus come into your heart. If you desire a new life to begin, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now you're doubting, dear Lord, just now reject him no more. Just now throw open the door. Let Jesus come into your heart.
If his opportunity now that you sigh, let Jesus come into your heart. Flowers for cleansing are flowing nearby. Let Jesus come into
the glad songs of the blessed. Let Jesus come into your heart. If you would enter the mansions of rest, let Jesus come into your heart. Just now you're doubting, dear boy.